So you're lucky, I guess, on one hand, besides the fact that you're getting two shears in a week, you're lucky that the plan didn't go as planned. My drive today, generally, with Hashem's help, takes 3 hours. Hashem wanted me to spend a little bit more time in the car today. So I made some stops, went to 1:30 and got the cholent. For those that don't know about it, in Monroe, very, very interesting incident there. Maybe we'll discuss it a little bit later. And then I got back in the car and I had the perfect storm to make it back here for Mincha. And then there was an accident, Baruch Hashem, I guess, Bechaste Hashem. If I didn't get the cholent, I might have been part of it. It was like a 6-car accident. So I thank Hashem for cholent. I don't know. But in any case, so then I had, this is a good Musar Haskil for you guys. I had a Shiloh, which hopefully you don't ever have asked. The Shiloh was, I'm going to get to camp at what you would call 7:26, and then Mincha for specialties have a 7:25. So you're like, perfect. That's what Hashem wanted for me to show up at Kedusha. I said, this is not going to work out. Whatever. I said, it's cutting it too close. So I called my wife. Then I thought of a kunz. I said, maybe I'll daven Ma'ariv. When they daven Ma'ariv, I'll daven Mincha. A little bit after Shkia, we chassid just this week. I had the children already in Monroe. And I said, no, that's not right. So I stopped in Woodburn, Baruch Hashem. They had another Nachumel Cholent, they had in Nicholsburg. So it's been great for me. But it gave me a lot of time to think, besides listening to Shurim, I had a specific topic, which we'll delve into a bit, but I've been thinking a lot about the shir that was given on Sunday. And for those that remember, those that listen to it on YU Torah that are listening now, I apologize if you're going to be bored by a little bit of a review. But we discussed the Tefillah of Nachem, which we'll be saying on Tisha B'Av, or Yud B'Av. Svardim, by the way, the Svardim do have the minug, we alluded to this, of saying Nachem all Tefillahs. If you guys remember, we discussed of the Inyan of the Me'ein HaMa'ora, where Rav Soloveitchik was a little bit bothered how it could be called a Me'ein HaMa'ora with a Rishonim. I believe it was a Rush, who said it was a Me'ein HaMa'ora. It's like a Yala V'Yavo, it's like an Ala Nisim. He said, how can that be? So we try to define what exactly Nachem was. And of course, we discuss a machlokus, if you will, between Zionist poskim, because I said that was the only machlokus that would be. And the machlokus was, do we change the nusach for things have changed a lot? Baruch Hashem, with the 70 years of Medina Yisrael and 1967's recapturing of Yerushalayim, so maybe we should change. And we gave the shitas, most notably of Rav Gorin, Aselich HaRav, Rav Chaim David Halevi, who thought yes, Chaim David Halevi a little bit, just one word, he changed. And then Rav Soloveitchik and others, great Gedolim, on the, you know, again, I think it's important to point out on the Zionist side, who said you can't change the Nusach of a Tefillah, right? Whether it was Rav Shaul Yisraeli and others, I believe Rav Svi Yehuda, he said as well. And I just started thinking about this concept of what is Tisha B'Av all about. So maybe in Mirtz Hashem, B'li Neder, and without committing to this, maybe we'll have a chance to speak out. This is not a Musar Shir, so this is going to be halacha a little bit. I have a whole mahalach of what I really think Tisha B'Av is about, and I actually think it's the opposite of what you guys might think it's about. And I think it's less about, I'll just give you the pratim, I think it's a lot less about the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and a lot more about what we're missing. And we spoke about that a little bit, what we're missing. We spoke it in Lessons of the Leib. But when I think more about this concept, so there's another halachic inyan. There are many halachic inyans. I once gave a shir many years ago, and it was called The Ramifications for Charedim. The Ramifications for Charedim in the Recapturing of Yerushalayim. So when we think, well, 1967, that doesn't really mean Yom to the Charedim. They don't say Hal, they don't. So there's very interesting tshuvas. Rav Moshe Feinstein and others say, for example, after 1967, a major shift change, and that was, is that we no longer rip Kriya on Ari Yehuda. When we see the Ari Yehuda, which might even include where Schreiber lives, right? Somewhat so. The Gush area is Ari Yehuda. I live in Beit Shemesh. It's also called Ari Yehuda. There's a cemetery there called Eretz Achayim. So they scam people and they say, in the hills of Jerusalem, right? But they're kind of right, because it's true. It's on the way. Okay, yeah, whatever. And if people think, they don't, but then they realize how far it is. But okay, in any case, Ba'ari Yehuda, you don't rip Kriya. Why? B'shilton Yisrael, when we've taken over, so that's halachic ramifications. You could say this, that, or the other, we've taken over, and therefore shilton Yisrael. Another thing that comes to mind, I don't think we'll have time this year to do this year, but another concept, potentially, is there is a sugya called Darche Darche Noyim, that B'shum Darche Noyim, we allow a lot of things, and we encourage a lot of things. This time is very important when we think about Darche Noam. So we think a lot about Sinas Chinam, and I think, I don't know why, we automatically relate Sinas Chinam to Jews, which is true. Based on Israel, it's true. Sinas Chinam, obviously with Jews. There's also Sinas Chinam with non-Jewish people. I remember last year, and I'm just thinking about it, obviously, Kedarka Bakoidish, before you get out to camp, you have to stop at Speedway, because it's only 88 cents for the Slurpee thing. And I stopped there, and I noticed, I don't know if you guys noticed this, in upstate New York, people are so much more friendly than wherever you guys probably live. Certainly if you live in the five towns, even in Teaneck, they're just very friendly. You have to be very careful because you might not be used to that being friendly, and they might take your non-friendliness, not saying, oh, that guy probably lives in the five towns. Everybody's like, oh, Jews aren't friendly. So you have to be careful with opening the door for them. Thank you, please, because everybody's saying it. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So you have to be careful. And I think, so Darche Darche Noam is that we have to treat even the non-Jewish nations, that we have to treat it with an element of respect and understanding that. There are halachic ramifications if they're not non-Jews that are over there. But there are different things about visiting them and Bikur Cholim and Shmir Shabbos, Chil Shabbos, and all these different things. One possible shita is, well, maybe this doesn't apply when it's not but when we're B'shilton Yisrael, when we're there. When we're over, and there's a machlekes, I don't have time to go into it, a beautiful, beautiful concept of Rav Unterman, chief rabbi, who's the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. We quoted Rav Unterman, if you remember, on Sunday this year, about not changing the Nusach of Nachem, maybe this is Kedarko also, and the Rav, which was explained by Rav Wurzberger, wrote in, I think it's called Kavod HaRav, one of the Svarim for Rav Soloveitchik, where there was a machlekes over there. And the machlekes was, what is Shilton Yisrael? Now consider. Right? Do we really have what he called Tkifat Yisrael? Are we in charge of Israel? So I don't know what you guys think, and this is not a political statement, but as much as we think we're in charge, one could only look as far as the Har HaBayis and those famous words, Har HaBayis Biadeinu, not really so sure Har HaBayis Biadeinu. Why? We can't walk on it as we please. Okay, we gave, Moshe Dayan gave the keys, if you will, back to, or to the Waqf. And we don't have full control. So that is the ultimate chutzpah. We spoke last time about this dichotomy of on one hand, being so happy that we have Eretz Yisrael, on the other hand, realizing it's without a base, maybe without the Shekhinah the way that it should be. So another topic that revolves around this, and it's interesting, when I actually searched on Yahi Torah, I realized that I never ever gave this shir, and this is not going to do justice to it, I never actually gave this shir formally on Yahi Torah. So Mirtz Hashem, one day, we'll give it completely. This is not the time for it. You guys are, you know, I know you're very, very tired from doing nothing today. And but the topic is something that you probably never heard of before. And I have to be very honest with you. I try to be very honest. You know, by the way, when somebody's not honest when they say that to you, right? When they say to you, I just want to be honest. I'm like, what about all the other times? Okay. So I'll tell you, I'll start it off with a story. Story is as follows. It's a funny story. We have friends that came from America, and they came and said, oh, let's go out to lunch one day. So, Baruch Hashem, with my current job, the way that it is, I'm free in the mornings. And so we went out. So they said, where do you want to go? They said, oh, let's go to Waffle Bar. So I was happy but sad, because Waffle Bar is very expensive. So I was happy because I wanted to see my friends. They're actually the people responsible for setting myself up with my wife, which is wonderful, amazing. I'm very, very lucky. My wife has been doing 20 years of stucco to me. And chesed, hours. And in any case, so I, hakaras hatov, but you don't want to spend all that money. I also have a very large problem with spending so much money on milchiks. Doesn't make any sense to me when you get two shawarmas for the same price as fettuccine alfredo. Anyway, that's not important. We show up there, and Baruch Hashem, this couple's parents are there. You know what that means? That means they're definitely going to pay for us. They're older people. Baruch Hashem, successful. There's no way we're paying for. So I'm all excited now, because now I'm like thinking about the different waffles I'm going to make. I'm not paying for it. I'm like a Shana Aleph guy now all of a sudden. So now the gentleman comes in. I think it's better for me to say his name. A wonderful, wonderful person, Mr. Fisher, and a very successful lawyer. And he says, Rabbi, you got to earn your stay. If you want me to pay for your lunch, you got to answer the following halachic question. Now, if anybody gets this answer to this question, so I also I have to give you something. I have something. I have something. Something. Something from Five Star Caterers that I stole. So, I'm kidding. So, in the four and a half hour drive, I was thinking to myself, why did I put the box with all the food in the trunk? Wasn't thinking, but then I realized it's all fleshic. So, okay, good. So I could have made a scene, by the way. 4 hours, I could have made a scene. I'm good to Harios easily. Okay, sorry. So here was the question. He said, yesterday we were at a ceremony. This is amazing. And we dedicated an apartment in Ir David. The people, these amazing people that live in Ir David and the Muslim Quarter. Some people like to call it what do they call it? What? Right, right. No, but they call it, I was actually at an event this week. Rabbi Fran spoke, Just One Life it's called. So the gentleman who was representing the TNET community, he actually was one of the founders, he said the so-called Muslim Quarter, he called it. So anyway, they purchased from Arabs, they were able to purchase an apartment. So the Jews were moving the apartment, they dedicated the apartment, I don't know how much money you have to give to do that. And they said, so the rabbi said, the person who was heading the thing, he says, Mr. Fisher, you're zoicha now to make three brachas. Three brachas. He says, Rabbi, if you can guess the three brachas, you get free lunch. And I'm like, 100%, I'm really sorry, I just had a little bit of a stomach ache. I have to go to the bathroom. This is not where you should do your research on Google, but I did. I went to the bathroom and I started Googling, I don't want to get free lunch. Anybody can guess? Three brachas were made. Two of them are easy. Oh, wow. Okay, you don't get the prize yet. But yeah, mezuzah, shechianu, good.
Okay.
What? No, make would be good.
Something that's brand new.
That'd be the shechianu. Oh man! Shoot, I didn't know you were from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Schreiber is gonna get some. Belina, you're gonna get some nice chocolate chip cookies from David's Cookies from Five Star Caterers. If you want to plan your simcha or your next event, call Five. No, so yishkoyach. So we'll get to Mesiv Gvul. Ah, beautiful. Baruch Hashem. See, you live in Eretz Yisrael. Imagine you lived in America, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. Anybody, raise your hand. It's not a video. Raise your hand. Do you ever hear this bracha? Mesiv Gvul Alman or something? Besides it, right? Eretz Yisrael. Shkoyach. Beautiful. Yeah? A little bit. Okay, good. Half. Okay, so let's just do the other two brachas, because that's not really today's topic, but let's try to figure out if in fact he's correct. So I guess mezuzah. Shiloh, it's not for now. Shiloh and the poiskim, whether or not you should make a mezuzah, a bracha and a mezuzah in a house you're not living in. Of course, the person living in the house should make the bracha. But this is actually documented. The Hasidic world, they do this where they give different rabbanim, different, right? I once was at a Shiloh where you could do it on a shul. I was at a shul and they had a big rav come and I'm like, well, I thought you don't make a bracha. Okay, fine, whatever. But okay, that's one possibility. Number two is Shechiyana. That's interesting. What is the bracha of Shechiyana? We know Shechiyana from the 9 days now and 3 weeks. No, we can't make a Shechiyana. What do you make a Shechiyanu on? So, what's a Shechiyanu on? So you know that Shechiyanu is down, I actually saw an interesting Shiloh yesterday, very interesting Shiloh, Rabbi Prince, he's actually a friend of mine, lives in a community, he wrote an unbelievable amount of Svarim, over a dozen Svarim, on Shelos Achuvas. He's actually a high school teacher. It was great Shilas. It was a really, really beautiful Avnei Derech, they're called Shelos Achuvas Avnei Derech. So he was asked by a Talmud who just made Aliyah. He's never at the Kotel in his life. Can he make a Shechiyanu? So he discusses, what Shechiyanu? So Shechiyanu, we know Shechiyanu, our friend Shechiyanu, from Yontif, right? We know it from mitzvahs. We know it the first time, you know, that you're the lulav and the sukkah, and right? You say Shechiyanu. Shechiyanu on the new fruit, something that gives simcha, one time that yeah. So he questions whether or not the Kotel, because there's some tsar involved, the Kotel, some beautiful tshuvas. How can you say it when there's such tsar involved? Maybe not. There is a simcha that I'm able to go, that this is the sheres aplatis, so the Rabbanu Shalom gave us this the medrash, and it's also an eicha, but in Shir Shirim, that Hashem gave us the remaining wall. He promised it would always be there. There is nechama, not okay, yushkoyah. So, but here Shechiyanu is very interesting, because Rav Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva, where Rav Moshe says, I can only do it for Lent. So, he's a famous tshuva where Rav Moshe says, what about when you buy a new car? Ain't simcha gadol mizu. Nowadays everybody leases cars. But when you buy a car, right, you're a rich guy, you buy a car. So he says, Shechiyanu. So he says, I agree, but I disagree. You don't make a Shechiyanu on that. You make the bracha of atov ve'ametiv when it's shared. He says, if you buy a car, you buy a two-seater, like my father-in-law has these two-seater cars. You really have no intention to have, they don't make one-seater cars like, you know, maybe they do, you know, they make the Formula Ones, but you don't really want anybody else in your car. So maybe that's a Shechiyanu. But Rav Moshe says most cars are for the whole family, and therefore it's called Hatova Meita. There's nothing wrong with that bracha, Hatova Meita. The third bracha is the one that we are perplexed by. Thank you very much for knowing what it is. And it says Tana Rabbanan. By the way, well, I'll just tell you the funny part of this. At the end, when he told me this bracha, I didn't really know what he was talking about. I Googled it and did a little research while I was eating. He paid for it, don't worry. And when I came back, I asked in my yeshiva some of the Barbeim, and guess what? All the American Rabbein was, yeah, I think it's a Gemara tucked away somewhere, and there's a Gemara in Brachas there. I think all the Israeli Rabbeim, we have a few Israeli Rabbeim, and they're like, you don't know, it's a Gemara. So the Gemara says in Brachas, on Nun Ches, Haroi Bate Yisrael B'Yishuvam. I'm going to purposely not translate this so much because I'm not really sure what it means. Haroi is someone that sees the houses of Israel, B'Yishuvam. What are you with Yishuvam? What does that mean, Yishuvam? In their settlement. I don't know what that means. I know now. Oh, settlement. So this is going to be good. The Yishuvam. Omer Baruch Metziv Gvul Almana. By the way, the Gemara ever says Baruch generally is a shame of Malchus. Bechorban, Rachman Lutzlan, if you see Bechorban, this was a Shaila that was asked and that was done in Gush Katif. Right? There's a famous video of those that remember of Abiner. Very powerful and difficult, especially at this time. When we think about the Chorban, so one of the Chorbans is that we remember this was around the time of the year where we lost Gaza, and all the people had to move out of their houses, and that moment when he made the bracha, Baruch Dainemes, and I don't know if you remember this video, but all the girls crying, something I always watch on Tisha B'Av, because that's something that I could feel, the Chorban. That's Mamash Chorban in front of you. That's the dichotomy of, we got back Eretz Yisrael, but look what happened. Look what's happening, Rabbi Yisrael, in Gaza. I don't have to tell you. Hundreds of rockets and everything that's going on now, right? You see the great Rav, Rav Aviner, saying this and ripping Kriya, Baruch Dayan Emes, Rav Nevin, I believe Paskind as well, that you would say, Baruch Dayan Emes. Says Rashi, this is like the key Rashi here, but don't worry, we're not going to go so crazy in this, I just want to bring out one point in this, and we don't have time to do the whole beautiful Machoikas over here, Rishonim and stuff. But Rashi says, what does it mean, Mesiv Gvul Almana? By the way, what is that bracha? What does it mean? What does it mean, Mesiv Gvul Almana? What do you think? Right. So it's interesting because the Rabbeinu Yerucham says there's a Toy Sofer in the Gemara. It's Meshiv, which would make more sense. Meshiv, to return the borders, right? Yishuv B'Gvulam, right? When everybody comes in, they have that famous song when you make Aliyah. What's the song that they sing? B'Shavu Banu, B'Shavu Banu, B'Gvulam. You're coming back to your original places where you belong. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Kigon B'Yishuv B'Yisheni. B'Yishuv B'Yisheni. Uh-oh, that's a problem. The stomach he's saying about when Bayis Sheni was around, the times of the Beis HaMikdash. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, and so then you would make this bracha when you had a new yeshuv, when they built a new town in Eretz Yisrael. Remember the second Beis HaMikdash, the times of Ezra, people weren't moving back on Mas. Ah, and now they built a new town, they built a Beit Shemesh. Then you made a bracha. Mistama, according to Rashi, no bracha today. No Beis HaMikdash. So Machlekes says the Rif, totally the opposite. Haroeh? Batei Knesios shall Yisrael be Yishuvam. A new shul is built. What does that mean? Where? Omer Baruch Meitziv Gvul Almana. Bechorban Baruch Dayan Emes. So apparently there's a machlekes between Rashi and the Rif. Rif Mistam means any shul that's rebuilt. It's when you build a shul, what does that mean? You build a town, right? A town's not complete unless it has a real shul. Mistam and the Rif means anywhere. Clearly Rashi for sure is talking about only Eretz Yisrael and maybe only in Bayis Sheni. The Rambam doesn't help us much because the Rambam just copies the Lashon of the Gemara. So we have to understand this more in depth. Now it's true, the Shulchan Aruch paskins this, Haroi Bita Yisrael Kagon B'Yisheni, he copies Rashi, Beis Yosef, Kesem Vishna, Rabbeinu Manoach, uses Rashi. So what does this mean exactly? So us Ashkenazim have a little bit more help because the Mishnah Berurah says the following thing. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Efshar Dafka Be'eretz Yisrael, Uvizman Ba'yisheni, Uvizman Azeh, Afilu Be'eretz Yisrael, Lo, Do Beis HaMikdash. So he takes Rashi, Mamish, literally. That's what Shulchan Aruch seems to do. The Afilu Im Yoshev Ata, Kamo Ba'yisheni, even if you're living in it, right, this is a famous thing people love to say, there's more Torah being learned today in Eretz Yisrael, more than Ba'yisheni, maybe even more than Ba'yis Rishon. So you should make the bracha today. He says, no, doesn't matter. And the Rif says it's only by shuls. They don't make this bracha on new shuls. That's not done. And the El Yerabba says no chilek, this is still in the Mishnah Berurah, Bein Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, if you're going to say this bracha. So he says, okay, you can say it, B'lishem HaMalchus, which I don't know what that means exactly. It doesn't really, it's not a bracha. So you could say, you know, you could say any bracha without Shem HaMalchus. So there's no machlokes. So I apologize, but I don't want to go into the whole machlokes. And maybe I don't apologize, maybe you're happy. And I want to bring out something really interesting. And that is the reason why the Israeli-born Zionist rabbis knew about it, and we didn't, is because this was a Zionist raid. This was the Zionist raid, if you will. Rav Melamed, who we just quoted a moment ago, who famously is known, the Panini Halacha, the great Svarim that he wrote. So Rav, he says something fascinating, in my humble opinion. And he says, this is actually on, you know, you ever go to yeshiva.org, so he has those, ask the rabbi. He was one of the first people, I happen to be against this very much, where SMS your rabbi. Right? Ask him a question. SMS your rabbi. Or SMS any rabbi, and he gives you an answer. Now, on the other hand, maybe it's a good thing. I mean, unless it's your rabbi, I think it's fine to SMS your rabbi. I actually started, you can't be joining us, but I have a new group, a few people who know me, and they started a group called Halacha Anything. And they ask me questions, all these different questions, halacha questions. And then I ask them questions. I ask them questions about fashion. I feel bad. I want them to do something. So I said, I'm in the Syracuse Mall. New, what's a good, you know, Abercrombie, is better than, I wanted to get the Lumdus. Is it better than Banana Republic? What about American Eagle? So they gave me the whole Lumdus over there. So far, they feel I help them, they help me. Good, Yishkoyach. So, I don't like it when it's not your rabbi and you ask the question and they SMS you back and answer, Lo, Cain. I'm not a big fan of that. It's your own Rav, that's beautiful. I was at a Seum last night. Sorry, guys. A real Seum, this is a wow. You know, there's a famous thing, this Shabbos. It's a Shabbos Chazon. It's also Tisha B'Av. So what do you do when it comes to what we call the Sudas? There's no Sudas on Mavsekas this year. There's no the egg. There's no the... And it says that Shal Shudas, and the Mitzvah Shem, hopefully, it'll be this way. And that will be that it should be Sudas Shloma B'Shato. You could have the most fancy meal. You could have Fleishik. Hopefully, there'll be at least wraps. Let's not forget it. I don't remember, Lent, when I first joined this wonderful place a few years ago, the mistake was made. The camp rabbi was away for the 9 days, and they appointed me the head mashgiach. That was a bad year for the camp, that bad week for the camp Masorah. So what happened? They were making those things like mamish right before, maybe on Shabbos. Maybe it was some shilas over there, but Baruch Hashem, everything was great. I ate them. So Rav Melamed says the following thing. He says, what happened to this bracha? Do we make this bracha today? So he says, most certainly. Mori v'Rebbe, Hagoin, Harav, Svi Yehuda, Hakoin Cook, Diber Mispar Palmim, Besichos al Brachazu, Viniskar, and he remembered, Yesh Kama Shechashashu Levarech. People said, how can you make this bracha today? Now what are we talking about? We're talking about a new yeshuv. A Gush Etzion is built. Okay? You built Alon Shvut. You built Neve Daniel. You built this yeshuv, that yeshuv. Maybe even you built Ramat Shiloh, where I live. Okay? So I don't want to cry again, but think about this. There are no Jew that ever lived where I lived, my home. No Jew lived there at least for 2,000 years. That's pretty crazy. Right? Okay, now, you should live in Yerushalayim. It's great. But I'm saying, think about that. All these people that live on these yeshuvim, it's amazing. Yesh kama shechashashu levarach biglal divrei ha-rif. Right, remember the riff? Right, it says, no. Aval efshel l'smaich al shloshe amudei oila. It says, no, because the Rambam quoted the Gemara, which is Rashi, and the Shulchan Aruch, levarach, v'yesh mitzavim heim bepachad v'bracha levatala. But people are scared. Listen to what Rav Cook said. They're scared of a bracha levatala over here. Nimshach. Ooh, but here it comes. Michisaron Shlemus be'emuna. They lack amuna in God. Sveikus bracha, sveikus be'emuna. What is Rav Kook getting at in the name of Rav Melamed? He said, because what is going on over here? So, if I may embellish for a moment, Rav Kook was saying the following. Do you not see what I see? Do you not believe Mesiv Gvul Al Mana? Do you not believe the gathering of exiles is happening here? Do you see what's happening? This yeshuv is being built that was never around. Right? Think about all the little communities in Yerushalayim. Some of whom we call part of Yerushalayim, right? They didn't exist before, okay? The Neve Yaakovs and the Sanhedrias and the Ramot and Pisgat Zev they didn't exist. B'nai Brak didn't exist. HaKamas HaMedina, there's a B'nai, right? Famous from the Grav, of course, the famous Petach Tikva. Petach Tikva, there's the gate of Tikva, of hope. And then we see it. He says, you have no moon in the Rebbeinu Shalom. You don't see Mashiach's coming through building these communities? Chisaron, Sveikas Bebracha, Sveikas Be'emuna. Haidashimo. You have to give Hodah to the Rebbeinu Shalom. L'chachila Hayoroi Levarech, Miyad, Mishum Hitter Mitzvah. So he tells the story about Mispar Parm Zachiti, Muzman B'Yishuv Chadash. I was invited to go to a new Yishuv. There was a Chagiga there, and said, of course you make the Bracha right away. But he says, I waited a little bit. Why? Mikevan shall pi rov mivakshim mi meni ledaber. I wanted to make it, let's say, berolam hajas melech. And I waited. I should have said it right the moment I came to the yeshuv. The az birchati mekol ram uverabim b'sheimul malchus b'shvil farhesya. The psumi nisa of it. The alder shema shiratzi, let's say, yidei chavasu birchati. Some people didn't want to make the bracha, so they said, amen after my bracha. Beautiful, beautiful lashon. One more idea, one more line that he wrote. There's a lot of beautiful things that he says here. He says, and then he says, "Ubichlal, especially in Yehuda v'Shomron, Hagolan, HaNegev, Chelek min HaGalil, v'Chelek mi from the Eurasian Valley." What is it called in English? He says, "V'nira shegam mi she'eno margish mireyut habatim tzarch levarech." Shekein hara habati, he says, you don't feel it? Feel it! Lamdanu, he said, we learn that this is Mesiv Gvul Almana Olam. What about Yerushalayim? He says, Bin Yerushalayim of Tiach Yoser Mikolat Tamik Gvul Almana. Especially Yerushalayim, these new places that are built. He thinks it's mutter. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. One other thing. There's a Rav by the name of Rav Yehuda Zolden. He's a rabbi, he's a doctor. He actually was the head of a yeshuv, Neve Dekalim, in Gush Katif. He's a dayan in the Beis HaGadol, student of Rav Kook. And he says the same thing. Lo hayam makom levarech bracha zu ad hakamas medinas Yisrael. Aval ka'asher zachiti l'shulton be'eretz Yisrael, nitan levarech bracha zot. Of course we should make this bracha. Are you crazy? He quotes the name of Chaim David HaLevi, our famous Chaim David HaLevi. Remember dovetailing what we said on Sunday. He said, you have to say Nachem and realize that it's not Bzuya, that there's something going on here. That's the line he says from Chaim David HaLevi. And he's amazed. I went with Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook to all these yeshuvim where he said this bracha. And he gives different reasonings why this is so, why how we read Rashi. The chula. If you don't make the bracha, he says, "Gorim lakach she'ein anu modim u'mishabchim laKadosh Baruch Hu b'makom shetzarich ve'efshal levarich." Doreinu zoichel liyishuv Eretz Yisrael ulhasir bekach bigdei almanot amuna. We're taking off, right? Kumi ori, get up, take the dust off. We're rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Otam levashem mishanot hagvulot harachot miyishuv Eretz Yisrael. Look what's happening around you. How do you not believe in that? So, the reason why, again, I could certainly delve a lot deeper into this, but I won't, because I don't want to bore you. There's Lum this year with Machlekesim in the Rishonim. But the Yisod that I wanted to bring out is similar to the Yisod, which I didn't think was my point of my Shir of Nachem. But it's something we have to think about on Tisha B'Av. And that is, as I told you before, this dichotomy of the saddest day of the year. But what do we have today? What has the Ribbono Shel Olam given us back? And what are we doing with it? What are we doing knowing that we have an Eretz Yisrael? It's not an I'm not Nefesh B'Nefesh. I'm not giving you an Aliyah speech. But are we margish that that's the place that we belong? Do we understand that it is a lot easier to live there today? Or do we say it's a great place to visit? It's a great place to visit. That's where the Shekhinah is much, much closer. Yes, we have, unfortunately, Hester Panim. We're in a time where we don't see the Shekhinah. If you remember the Vort, the idea, we'll maybe talk about it on Tisha B'Av, of the Shekhinah being diminished for us, the lack of Shefa in the world. But that's only because the Rabbanu Shalom, unfortunately, doesn't want it to be seen. But in Eretz Yisrael, that's much closer. We're much closer to Hasharas HaShekhinah. Not as close as we should be, but we're much, much closer. Much, much closer. You know, that famous Ramban that everybody likes to quote if you live in America, and if you want to make somebody make aliyahs, you quote the Ramban, and what do you say? Somebody who lives in Chutz Laretz, ki'ilu ein lo eloka. What does the Ramban mean? Some people misinterpret this to mean, you know, you don't have to put tefillin on really outside of Eretz Yisrael, because only in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. That's not true. Although, many, many years ago, I saw an interview here. There was a member of Knesset, Tommy Lapid. His son is now very influential. Tommy. Can Tommy. Slicha. So, his son's also in the Knesset now. So he was well known for not being a good friends with the Haredim and maybe in general with religious people. So I once saw this awesome interview with him. Right? It's hard to say. How can I say that? You'll hear why in a second. He was interviewed by a Haredi magazine, well known in America, and they wanted to get the crux of what are you so against for religious people. And all of a sudden he stops the interview and he says, I have to tell you something. You know, it's a little bit chutzpahdik for you to question me in it. He goes, you're obviously not truly religious. And the person says, what do you mean I'm not truly? What does that mean? He says, anybody who lives in Chutzlar, it's Kiilu Ein Elokah. You have to be very careful when you deal with Israelis. Like, they know a lot more than you think they know, right? Secular Israelis, no Tana. Right? All of a sudden, you know, you're in the middle of nowhere, and this guy who looks like a skinhead says, wait, 1 second. Shema Yisrael Hashem. And he says the biggest covenant of a Shema. You know, right? I've had this in my house where I offer people food to Shaila. She offered them food, they're not going to get bracha. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, not only does the guy recognize he has to make a bracha, he asks me for a yarmulke, he puts the yarmulke on, and he makes a bracha like you've never heard a bracha before. Sfaradim. Ah, Baruch Hashem. So, anyway, so he said, you don't live in Eretz Yisrael. Shkula kenei kolam mitzvos b'Torah. You're telling me about not being, you're not religious. What are you doing? You believe in Hashem? What? It was a good Musa. I don't think the person who wrote this article took it as Musa Haskell, but it was a Musa Haskell. We see these different inyanim, and we say to ourselves, do you understand the facts on the ground change? It's pretty cool to say, you know, on one hand, it's cool that there are so many svarim written today that couldn't have been written 50 years ago. Why? Because 50 years ago, you know, they didn't have, you know, microwaves like they have today, right? They didn't have shilas about smartphones, unfortunately, that we have today, right? All these different shilas that come up now, electric guys, you know, somebody once said, hopefully in Mirtz Hashem, this isn't true, they said, we're going to have a big problem one day, because everything's going to be smart and this and that. You're not going to be able to open a refrigerator in Shabbos anymore. It's very difficult. But Eretz Yisrael also. Medina, I said this to you last time, if you remember. I said, imagine, you know, 70 years ago, 80 years ago, my rabbi said, 80 years ago, in the midst of the Holocaust, you started saying, you know, there's a bracha, the Shulchan Aruch, Mesiv Gula, we're dying here. Are you kidding me? No, but it's about Ari Yehuda. If you rip Ari Yehuda, and then the bracha, if you make a darche darche nam, does it apply in the case of? What are you talking about, Eric? We're going to get back. All these shilas come up. Says Rav Cook and Rav Malamed and Rabbi Zoltan. He said, there never was a chance to make a bracha like this before, and you don't recognize it. Are you blind? What are you doing? Now, I just want to make it clear, the technicalities of, I'm not saying Rav Soloveitchik wasn't a Zionist in the same way, and he didn't recognize, but there are serious questions. You know, the famous, we say, Avinu Shebashamayim, so Berech has been asked Israel, Reishitz Mechosein, that's a big statement to make Rav Soloveitchik fail. And others say, at least say Shetei. But the point is, it doesn't mean I don't love Medinas Israel, but gradual steps, baby steps, whatever it might be. But look what we have. How can we not recognize it? I think that part of Hester Panim, which I've always, you know, you always have to ask yourself an intellectual question. How is it that the greatest gedolim of our generation don't recognize Medinas Yisrael the way I recognize Medinas Yisrael? Isn't there a problem then with who I am? And the answer is, No. That's what Hester Panim is. Shachter likes to point out, it's possible that Mashiach ben Yosef came already. And it was whoever, I don't want to give a name, but it was someone who wasn't. It's someone who might not be recognized. Right? Certainly Mashiach ben David will be, but you know, the famous jokes about, you know, he goes to this shul and they say, well, you know, you can't be Mashiach because, you know, you're not wearing a kapata. And then goes to this shul and says, you're not wearing kippah sergah. Goes to this shul, you know, and he says, you're not wearing, you know, this hat, that hat. Who cares? But the point is, I think that we're missing something at Tisha B'Av. We don't think about what we do have. How we can get close. There is a stira in a way. If you think about it just for a second, we have to concentrate on what we don't have, but how can we concentrate it? Because I don't have it. Meaning, right? We would be so much closer to Hashem today. It would be so much easier for us to make brachos and recognize that Hashem is in front of us and not to sin if we had the Shechina in front of our faces like we had when we had the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, we should recognize what we don't have. That doesn't make sense for every hard scene, because how do I recognize that? I don't have the Shechina in front of me. How am I gonna? It's hard. It's hard to recognize that. This is a bracha that makes us recognize that, wow, there is a shift change. There is a big difference in our lives that we have in Medinas Yisrael. Obviously, everybody that's sitting here, even myself, we only knew Medinas Yisrael. We only knew Yerushalayim. We didn't know anything better. Okay? But there are some people sitting here, including yourself, that may, you know, may have realized that the Waldorf Astoria wasn't built, wasn't always there. And in my year in Israel, there wasn't Mamilla. So what? Are we such Gashmias oriented? No. That is the Navi speaking and saying, I'm rebuilding Yerushalayim. You saw that in your own generation, the rebuilding. You saw, excuse me, for maybe this is not appropriate, but there's been tremendous Kiddush Hashems that were created. I'll tell you why this is not appropriate in a second. When certain things happen. So some people say, so what? They move the embassy to Yerushalayim. Who cares? The American embassy moved the... That's the Rabbanu Shalom. Well, but obviously everything comes from Rabbanu Shalom. But there's something to be said there. I remember when, I believe it's Minister Katz, when they built the, I don't know if you know, but going into Yerushalayim now, it's much quicker, Road 1. So they built these tunnels. These beautiful tunnels. So he stood by the tunnel, and he quoted a pasuk in Navi that says that at the time of, when the time of Mashiach comes, he's going to create speedways. He's going to create... What are we talking about? He said, this is the puzzle. He's going to create ways for us to get quicker to Yerushalayim. Now there's going to be a speed train. It's all for us to get to Eliyahu Regel. I guess that means it'll be mutter. That'd be great. Finally go on trains. On Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's probably mutter. Yeah, okay, no, don't quote me. That's why you told her. Take it off why you told her. But that's the point. Do we recognize that this is all the Nevi'im in front of us? Yes. Stop. It's not enough. It's not enough. I don't have a basement. I don't have the Shechina in the same way. But wow, how much closer have we come? How much closer do we come from 100 years ago? From even 70 years ago? From even... And I think that's something that we have to appreciate. This is a great sugya. This we're returning something that we didn't have. But every yeshiv that's built is so remarkable. It's amazing. I have to say, when people make aliyah, there's something. They tell a story about Rav Svi Yehuda Cook, that there was a student who came to the yeshiva. He just made aliyah. And they went to Rav Cook and they said, oh, there's a student coming. They're making aliyah. You should know. So he starts. He says, he's going to come. We don't know he's coming. But sometimes he's coming into the yeshiva, to Mer Chazara. And the whole shir, Rav Cook's giving shir klali to all the guys. And he looks at the guy and he says, did he come yet? No. This guy's wondering. What? He's in the middle of shir. All of a sudden, he says, he came. Stop shir. Dead in the tracks. He runs outside. He greets the guy. Hugs him. So what's the big tumult? Who's this guy? He's a famous guy. What, his father gives a lot of money to the yeshiva? He goes, no. Do you know what it is to make aliyah? To recognize the place to live. The Shechina's closer. Ah, that must be a special person. I remember when I first made aliyah, thank God, one of the first people I met when I was in Yeshiva Leva Torah was Rav Machlis. What was that? No. The great tzaddik, the Avram Avinu of our generation. And a friend of mine said, oh, Rav Machlis, this is Daniel Hart, seen it? He just made aliyah. And I saw the light in his eyes. Oh, wow. He gave me a very hearty handshake. He says, you're a very lucky person. And I walked home and I felt good. Geaba. I made the decision. It's not so easy. Some people don't get to make a decision. You made a decision to leave your home. Wow, wait. For what? Not for shawarma. So, right? I remember when my kids, we'll end it in just a moment. I remember when my kids, so Baruch Hashem, we, for 8 years, we did not come back to America as a family after we made Aliyah. We didn't think, we're going to come back to, right? My friend had a joke once. He said, 8 years, you're on a spiritual high. Well, 8 weeks in camp, we'll take that all away. It wasn't true. So my kids, so I have two kids, Baruch Hashem, Avishai and Yonatan, who were born in Eretz Yisrael. They'd never seen really America. One of them was here once, right? And so they came here, and they come. Mom, we came right to Camp Masorah. So now they think that America is Walmart, right? Like everything's big gulps, everything's huge, everything. Like this is amazing America. Everything's big, everything's huge. Okay, so yeah, there is a lot of goshmas. It's great. Tom, can you imagine? I'm just thinking to myself, a 52 ounce soda, right? If they had such a thing in Eretz Yisrael, how much money would that cost? It'd be like 50 shekel, like 88 cents. It's crazy. Right? Okay, good. You should go here. Bill goes. I have the shekhinah. You don't like shekhinah. Right? I was listening to Chatasi Ani Mazgir Yom. Chatasi, I'm not saying. It was a long four plus hour ride. We had a lot of shiurim. You know, I'll listen to music for the 9 days, right? Rabbi Hartzi? No, that's not true. I hold that it's a mutter if it's something that's going to inspiring music. So I was listening to a beautiful song about Yushalayim. It's okay. And it was by Yaakov Shwegi. Yaakov Shwegi starts off by saying, come on, let's do this for Eretz Yisrael. Let's do this for the people that live in Israel. And he stops and he says, oh, for a moment I thought, I'm not in New York now. I feel like I'm in Eretz Yisrael. And I, of course, I like to talk in my car. And I'd be like, but you're not. You're not in Eretz Yisrael. People always say, where do you live? I said, Rabbi Pachas. Oh, America, basically? I'm like, yeah, it's America, except we have the Shekhinah. You're like, chutzpah, what do you say? What? Because my life is easier because I live in a town that people speak. Okay, Yishkaya. But I still live in Eretz Yisrael. Let us recognize what it is. This is not, again, I know it sounds like it's an Aliyah speech. It's not. It's a realization of what there is in Eretz Yisrael. Do I focus my plans on, I'm going on a vacation, so I can go to the Bahamas or Eretz Yisrael? Bahamas, obviously. It's more fun. No, Eretz Yisrael. Where am I going to make it next time to Eretz Yisrael? What's the plan? I don't want to visit the Shekhinah. I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't want to make a plan to visit the Shekhinah. Why do people go back after Shana Aleph and Shana Bet so many times? Right? So Rabbina's, you know, says all the time, I say, have to go to recharge the batteries. Yeah. What does it mean, recharge your batteries? That's where it is. We go to the Kotel, right? Right? Somebody said, you know, nowadays, Nebuch Lo Olein, we're always looking at our phone. Oh my God. Oh, right. When I actually was driving up, I didn't realize the cord of my phone wasn't perfectly in, and all of a sudden, it got the message, you only have 20% left. Now, this is a big deal because I don't know how to go get up to camp with that weight. It's like your life's over now. So what do? You have to plug it into the wall. That's what we do. We plug ourselves into the wall. It's called the Kotel. That's how we get closer to Hashem. We charge our batteries too. So Mirtz Hashem, we should think about, on one hand, the great gift the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us and how close we are to that moment. It's coming so soon if we really want it. And we give Hodah that what we have, and Mirtz Hashem with that, will truly be Zoicha to this Shabbos Chazon, Shabbos Tisha B'Av, being actually Tisha B'Av. Think about it, Rabbi Yisai. This year, we actually are going to be eating meat. We're going to be drinking wine on Tisha B'Av. It doesn't have to be the 10th of Av. Could be, in 2 days from now, the real thing, the real McCoy. That's what Tisha B'Av is going to be. It's going to be Yontif. It's a Yontif this year. It's the real thing. Mitzvah Shem, it should be that forever and ever. B'vias goyel tzedek, b'meir v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.